Amen. Turn one last time tonight to Matthew chapter 6. We'll read 9 through 15, the portion of the Lord's Prayer. Tonight we want to think of the ending to our prayers, which is the word Amen, and we'll think a little bit about that and its meaning tonight. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Amen. The word of the living God for us. We want to think tonight about the word Amen. And just like last week in the doxology, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever," Amen does not appear in any of the versions of the Lord's Prayer, but it's biblical, so we'll think about it tonight. You probably have heard the word Amen or Amen your whole life. I don't know what the difference between saying Amen and Amen is. It's like pecan and pecan, maybe. I don't know which you say, if one's Southern, one's Yankee, or what. I do know that in the Old Testament, the Amen has a little H sound to it, so the Amen is probably more Old Testament. Amen would be more Southern, I suppose. And if you're a good Baptist, you have to pronounce it, prolong it, Amen, or something like that. In a couple weeks, I guess a couple months now, we're starting to see the TV commercials for the Masters golf tournament. And somewhere back in the 1950s, a sports writer called, and the name has stuck, I think the 11th, 12th, and 13th holes, the Amen Corner. I believe those are the hardest portions of the Augusta National Golf Course. And so it must be that if you get through it, you say Amen and thank Jesus. I'm not sure how that works. But that's a famous colloquialism. If we're out in public and we're maybe having a conversation about something and we agree with it, we may say the word Amen. It's a very common phrase. It's also used quite a bit in the church. We're not really an Amen church, though we do have a few Ameners. And I think that's a good thing. We'll see how the word is biblical and ought to be biblically used. But it's often used in the church. It simply means yes. It simply means so be it. It means that we want the thing that we have mentioned, the thing that we have prayed for, we want it to come to pass. A friend of mine who grew up in the Baptist church said there used to be competing men in the congregation who would see who could say the most amens, the loudest amens, and could draw it out the longest. It can get that way sometimes. When we are saying prayers in a group, sometimes we end our prayers with amen as a verbal cue to others. Hey, I'm done and it's your turn. And so it's used in different ways. But there's three particular scriptures that I want us to think about tonight that are helpful to understanding this word amen. And they have to do with the person of God and the character of God. The first passage is Isaiah chapter 65. And it speaks of the God of the amen, or the God of truth. And then you bump along to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And Paul says that all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. They find their amen in Jesus. He says that is why through him, through Jesus, we utter our amen to God for his glory. So God the Father is truth. He is the God of the amen. He is the God of truth, of verity, but also Jesus is the great amen. And then finally, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, where Jesus is speaking to the seven churches here in particular, he's speaking to the church at Laodicea. And he says, I, the faithful and true, the Savior, write this to you. I am the Amen. And it harkens back to Isaiah 65. So God is Amen. Jesus is Amen. And all of the covenant promises and blessings are Amen. And so when we end our prayers with the word Amen, in a sense, we're saying, God, I bind you to your promises. If we pray God's words, if we pray God's promises, and we plead or argue with God according to his ways and his will, when we say Amen, we are binding God to what he has said. Amen is, I guess in our minds, a universal church language. Throughout the Old Testament, it was used to say, so let it be, let it be truth. In the New Testament, Jesus uses it quite a bit. Truly, truly, I say to you. We find it as the covenant word of Almighty God. When God gives his word, he keeps his word, and his word is true, his word is firm, his word is fixed, his word is secure. From A to Z, Alpha to Omega, God is the beginning and the end, and he is the Amen. And we live in a world, I believe, that says yes and no, yes and no. And if someone gives their word yes, very often their hands are behind their back, their fingers are crossed, they really mean no. We renege on contracts all the time. We give our word, but we do not keep our word. We make oaths and covenants, and we make vows, and we don't keep them. But that's never the case with God. God gives his word and keeps his word. And we see that firmed up in the person and in the work and in the cross of Jesus Christ. If we think of all of God's covenant promises, all of God's covenant desires, all of God's covenant work on our behalf, it all comes to fruition in the cross. When God promises to make a people his own, he has to wash them clean. That can only be done in the blood of Jesus. When God promises to give us new hearts, that can only be done after the new heart of Jesus by the work of the Spirit. When God promises to save a people for himself and to call them by name, that redemption accomplished is what is needed to lead to the redemption that over time, through the preaching of the word, he brings to pass. So all the promises of God, all the covenant blessings of God come to pass in the person and in the work and in the cross of Jesus. And God always does what he says. And so we've spoken in our time about prayers, the need for confidence. We draw near to our Father who is in heaven. We draw near as children who are encouraged to come see our Papa and to ask him for what we need. But we ended the prayer also, his is the kingdom, his is the power, his is the glory, and eternally so. So he is mighty to save, he is mighty to act. But in between, we prayed for his will. We prayed for spiritual needs, for physical needs. And now, as we come to the end of the prayer, we want to bind God to his word. Lord, you've said in your word that if we come and we pray and we ask and we seek your face, if we confess, you'll heal us and forgive us. If we have needs, you'll meet them. We have not because we ask not, so we come asking and we plead your promises. And all the available grace and all the available gifts of God come to us through prayer and through the Amen. And so in a sense, when we end our prayers, we're saying, Lord, if it seems good to you, if it seems good to your ways and your glory and your plan for us, you will do the thing. Now, a lot of times our prayers, I was chatting with somebody about this week, our prayers are what's often called the organ recital. And we don't mean this one over here. But we're praying for big toes and we're praying for, you know, aunts and uncles and cousins and all the rest. And certainly we should do that. But I think there's a priority to prayer, isn't there? It's the glory of God. It's that his name would be known to the ends of the earth. So our biggest concern ought to be for the glory of God to be known on the face of the earth. Our other big concern ought to be that his will would be done, that people would bow their knee to Jesus and sit under his authority and do what his word says, worshiping him and living for him. And yes, there are physical needs. There are worldly needs. And sometimes I think we very often pray that God will get us out of our messes. Lord, I'm about to suffer. And it can't possibly be your will for suffering. But when we understand our theology, when we understand what we believe about God, read the book of Job or other places, we might have to make a prayer. Lord, your will be done, even if it means I suffer. Lord, your will be done, even if it means I go through pain and heartache and hardship. Lord, your will be done, even if it means I'm taken in death. I think sometimes we think that it would not be an answer to prayer if we got sick and went home to glory. But that would be a great answer to prayer, wouldn't it? Maybe not prematurely or that sort of thing in our mind, but it would be good to be with God in heaven. So we need to temper our prayers with the glory of God, the will of God, but also the way he has shown himself consistently to work. The great amen of God is always the cross, isn't it? The great amen of God is always the blood of Jesus and the death of Jesus, his confirmation of his covenant. We saw that today in the Lord's Supper. As we held the bread and as we held the cup, or the body and the blood of Jesus, we held the confirmation of the covenant. God promised to be a God to us. He promised to be a God to his people, and we are his people through the body and blood of his Lord Jesus, his only Son. And so when we held the sign, behind the sign was the thing signified, the reality that God is a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. And so I think the encouragement for us tonight is to say a hearty and an emphatic amen when we make our prayers. It's a statement, I believe, that we make our prayer in faith. We don't just rattle off words and say, well, hope for the best. We don't just rattle off words and say, well, I've done my part. No, we truly come in faith, knowing who God is, knowing what God has done, knowing from the scriptures what he's like. And we can boldly approach in faith, and we can boldly end our prayers in faith. And then we can leave it to God. It was never in your hands, right? But we're putting it into capable hands. And so let's be a people who make our prayers with a hearty amen, believing that they will come to pass in God's timing for his glory and our everlasting good. Let's do pray together. Our Lord, we thank you for the chance to think tonight on how sure and firm and fixed is your word. And Lord, we often don't believe it. We despair, we wring our hands, we wonder if you hear and if you listen, but this word reminding us of your character and all the promises come to full fruition in Jesus helps us. And so bless us as we are a praying people to pray with great faith. We ask all this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.